Earth, sky.
I think just thinking about the cell and as a small world, and that there are all these incredible things that are happening at this tiny, tiny scale, smaller than the wavelength of light, we'll never be able to look directly at these sorts of incredible events, but they're happening in our bodies every day, and it's just a beautiful thing to be able to see. And the only way we'll be able to do it is through means like this, like animation. And maybe in other ways as well in the future.
You are listening to Dr. Janet Iwasa, a molecular biologist and professional animator at Harvard Medical School, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Iwasa uses her dual talents for biology and animation to create 3D movies about molecules, protein molecules, for instance, which is what our cells are built of. Iwasa said these kinds of animations are advancing science research. She explained how with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl.
Dr. Iwasa, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much.
So we know you're making animation videos starring molecules, and we know that these are very impressive, but are they advancing scientists' understanding of biology, and if so, how?
I think they are. So basically, what I believe is that in order to really understand what's going on in cells, I think we really need to take advantage of our ability to visualize things.
So are your 3D animations affecting the way scientists communicate with one another about science?
So basically, the way that many researchers still communicate about the molecular processes they study is by having these very crude drawings of, you know, circle one, which represents a protein, interacts with square two, which is another protein, and they come together in this way, and there's a lot of arrows and circles and shapes that come together, and then they come apart. And it's very static, and it's very crude, and it doesn't really convey a lot of information other than the very, very broad strokes. And so this is the way that still a lot of researchers convey information about these very complicated processes. And it really doesn't do anyone a great service to rely on something that's that simplified. And it really doesn't convey the amount of knowledge we have these days. So I think animation is really kind of the future of the way that we really should be communicating our scientific ideas.
Can you describe a typical video you produce? How can a molecule be a major star in a motion picture?
So we have a lot of resources as biologists these days. So there's this wonderful resource called the Protein Data Bank, which is basically a huge number of protein structures that have been contributed by thousands of scientists over many years. And so this is basically a sort of a map. And so you can get basically the coordinates, the XYZ coordinates of each atom in a protein by going into the protein data bank and downloading a file of your favorite protein. And so we know the structures of thousands and thousands of proteins. And so that's sort of the starting point for a lot of my animations is getting structures from proteins that we know and using those as sort of the starting point. And so you have this very three-dimensional and detailed version of the protein that you can start to animate. So we know that proteins start moving around and they're flexible. And the structures in the protein data bank don't necessarily reflect that, but you can add that on in animation. And then we can add on other proteins that are interacting with each other and things like that. And so we can create this sort of a scene that we think happens within the cell. It's sort of a visual hypothesis that we use using all other types of information that we have. So using microscopy data, as well as structural data and biochemistry data to bring together this sort of visual hypothesis, which is the animation.
What's the most challenging video you've worked on so far?
So endocytosis is the process by which a cell is able to internalize something that's outside its membrane. So say a molecule lands on the membrane outside the cell, and the cell wants to internalize that and process the protein that's just landed there. And in order to do that, it basically needs to make a bubble of sorts. So it takes the kind of the membrane that's on the outside and forms a very small bubble that has the protein, the thing that landed on it, inside it, and kind of uses that and transports that within the cell. And so the process that I animated was this cage that forms in order to create this bubble, this vesicle. And so that was pretty challenging because there were a lot of different proteins that were involved, and there are a lot of proteins in general. So there's 60 of these clathrin molecules that all had to be sort of coordinated to form this very beautiful cage when this vesicle is forming. And then it all kind of falls apart very rapidly at the end. And a lot of the animation showed it in real time. So the process takes about a minute to form, and then it took several seconds to fall apart. And it was challenging mostly because there were so many proteins involved, and we were trying to be as accurate as possible in terms of where the proteins were, the timing of it, as well as the including as many other proteins as we could.
And how would have scientists have explained the same concept a year ago or 5 years ago?
So usually what scientists do in their talks is they present the data that they have. And so this usually looks like a graph maybe, or maybe a chart. A lot of microscopy, you can see basically glowing something, a glowing bit moving around. And so that's how he figured out the timing. So I worked on this project with Tom Kirkhausen, who's a member of my department at Harvard Medical School. And so he has a lot of really beautiful microscopy data that shows these points of light, these clathrin molecules that appear and disappear. But basically, that's all you see, a point of light that appears and disappears.
You know, how complicated do molecules get? And proteins get? Are they like breakdancing? What is a good like metaphor for how complicated their activity can actually be?
So basically, I think animating a protein can be as complicated as animating a human inside a Pixar movie. And a human, you can imagine, will need something to make the fingers and toes move, as well as the knees and the head, and, you know, the eyes are blinking. I think proteins can be just as complicated as that in terms of animation.
So this science path you've chosen is so rare. Most people with the same credentials are either research scientists or they're making big bucks designing, you know, video games or Hollywood films. When did you realize that science needed molecular movie making? And how did you come to realize that you were the one to do it?
How it all started was I was in graduate school at the University of California in San Francisco, and I was working in a lab that studied actin, which is a type of protein that's involved in cell movement. So the way that cells crawl around, like immune cells are able to crawl around and follow a stimulus. So I'd be sitting there every week, listening to people in their lab talking about this molecule that they studied and using all sorts of jargony terms. And it never really got me that excited or really, I think I never really totally understood what they were talking about until Ron Vail, who is the head of that lab, he asked someone to make an animation of this protein. And once people started showing that and talking about their research in that context, everything clicked for me. Everything just came together. And I just thought, my gosh, this is such a powerful tool. Why aren't more people doing this? And actually, I want to do this for my proteins. I want to be able to, you know, shed light on the things I study in the same way that this animation has shed light on the things that they study.
You've been listening to Janet Iwasa, a biologist, professional animator, and a lecturer in molecular visualization at Harvard. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.